Moncrief on News Talk.
Earlier this month, a pollution event in the River Glyde in County Louth caused the deaths of thousands of fish, among them wild salmon. Wild salmon are particularly vulnerable as the numbers returning to Irish rivers have collapsed by 90% in the last 5 decades. We're joined by the journalist and co-presenter of Ear to the Ground, Ella McSweeney. Afternoon, Ella.
Afternoon, Sean. How are you?
What has caused the decline?
The life cycle of wild salmon asks us all to, I suppose, behave as best we can in terms of being in balance with the world. And as we know, we're not very good at that. Because if you think about what salmon are, they kind of link all the world together. They're born in streams, in, you know, the rainwater coming off the mountains, in streams and rivers. They grow there. They then go out to sea. Up to Greenland and Norway, they grow bigger and then they come back to the same river or stream that they were born in to spawn again. Now, that's a big geographical spread across, you know, streams, rivers, estuaries and the ocean. And salmon are really robust, resilient, phenomenal creatures, but they're also pretty sensitive and they need three things: cold, clean, free flowing water. And if they don't get those three things, they are in trouble. And they are also really tasty. And so what we've had is the numbers completely collapsing. So in 1971, 1.2 million salmon, wild salmon, returned to Irish rivers. And now it's about 150,000 at most.
Crikey. That's quite stark, really, isn't it?
So it's shocking. If you imagine a graph, just imagine that in your head. Like, it's really shocking. Yeah.
The first thing you mentioned was cold, clean water. Clearly, there's not enough of that.
Yeah, I suppose we have a lot of things, a lot of pressures hitting salmon all at once. And I will say, like, I've only ever once seen a wild salmon in a river, and that's it. So for people thinking, what does it matter? Why should I care? I'm never going to see one. Salmon are a sort of emblem. They're the thing that we know and that indicate that all is reasonably okay in the world. And so even just knowing that they're in rivers is a big sort of box ticked for doing well. So making sure that our rivers are clean, they're not full of barriers, that the water isn't too hot and all the rest. And the same goes in the ocean. And so the reality is that they're a kind of shorthand for the presence or absence. Their presence or absence is a kind of shorthand for how we're treating the environment. Like, the temperatures of our rivers are going up because of climate change and also because of the barriers in rivers. And when temperature goes up, the oxygen goes down and salmon just suffocate. And then pollution, like our rivers and our estuaries, like, honestly, you just have to say it. They're filthy. There's no other word for it. I mean, you can dress it up, but that's the reality. So if they're not clean, fish aren't going to live. And salmon would be particularly sensitive to that kind of pollution.
Yeah. Now, we don't know what particularly caused the pollution event that killed the fish in the River Glyde. But in general terms, who is making the rivers filthy?
I mean, there's humans.
But from what areas of endeavour?
You and me, Sean, like, seriously, it's just all of us. But specifically, if you look at the Environmental Protection Agency, they would say, and look, this is just facts rather than opinion, they would say the biggest pressure would be, and especially in Ireland, because we're such a, you know, in the rural areas and agricultural space, the agricultural nutrients, so too much nitrogen, too much phosphorus going into our rivers, ending up in our estuaries. So rivers kind of saturated in nutrients, which is just devastating because excess nutrients causes algae to grow. So it's basically fertilizing our water. And then when the algae die, the bacteria decompose and consume all the oxygen. So the salmon just suffocate. There's also wastewater treatment plants. There's abstraction of water. There's just general pollution. There's, you know, and as I said, there's barriers in rivers, culverts, weirs, all that sort of stuff. So the pressures are immense, just immense.
Yeah. Now, is there any relationship between the decline in numbers of wild salmon and salmon farming?
I think there is very clear evidence that salmon farming and, you know, it's this weird thing. I mean, I even have it all the time. I was at a supermarket yesterday and you see salmon everywhere. And you can't quite get your head around the fact that on the one hand, people like me are saying the salmon are disappearing. On the other hand, you're going into your shops and seeing salmon for sale everywhere. But that's all farm salmon in pens in specific places. The problem about farm salmon is twofold. They have problems with sea lice because you have, you know, 70,000 salmon in a cage, for example. Sea lice come in and they're very, very concentrated numbers of sea lice. The wild salmon go past these places, they get infested by sea lice and then they die. And this would also be very true of sea trout as well. So you have that. And then you also have the occasion where these farm salmon escape and then they breed with the wild salmon. And the reality is farm salmon are bred to just be lovely and juicy and fat and be killed. The wild salmon are like Olympic athletes. So if you cross an Olympic athlete with a really lazy person, you're not going to get an Olympic athlete.
Yeah.
And I'm laughing, but it's completely tragic. You know, it is completely tragic. So that's the pressure. And I think that the evidence is very clear now that, the fish farming industry is putting immense pressure on wild salmon and, as I say, on sea trout as well.
Yeah.
And something needs to change. There's no doubt.
Now, and if they get as far as the river and they're making their way up the river, are there many blockages they have to encounter?
There are so many physical barriers on Irish rivers and lakes. Like we can't stop ourselves in the past putting concrete, you know, weirs and dams and sluices and culverts. And all of these things are impediments for salmon to get up to the higher parts of the rivers and streams where the cool, clean water actually is. And there's a big emerging movement across Europe of removing all these weirs and these barriers, basically. And once you remove them, the flood risk goes down, the water stays cooler, the water becomes free-flowing again, the sediment moves, and the fish can get up the river, up the streams to spawn. So if you're a salmon and you've endured the ocean and the rare number of salmon who actually survive the ocean come back to an Irish river, and the first thing you come up against is you bash your head against a weir and you can't get up. It's ridiculous, you know. And so there needs to be huge urgency, I would say, if we want to have any chance at all of helping these wild salmon. The few that are returning, they need to get up to those upper streams to spawn. And the only way they can do that is by removing these weirs as soon as we can and all these barriers. And it needs to happen urgently because we are in a bit of a race now to keep the wild salmon in our rivers.
Yeah, but even if, you know, there is a weir and that, you know, they have a little hole in it or a kind of an alleyway, that is that not good enough for a wild salmon?
Yeah, so like a fish pass, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they do, you know, this is kind of like the real human solution to a salmon, wild salmon problem. But yeah, the fish passes are there. They're not very, they don't always work at all. The ones that do work are really expensive. They don't also allow the free flow of sediment, which is another part of free flowing rivers, which is really important. And really the evidence is really clear. Remove the barriers. Step one, remove the barriers. Step two, if there's really, really strong evidence that you can't, then you have to put in very expensive fish passes that need maintenance. And we all need to pay for that. So, that's the kind of decision. I will say all this is kind of grim. There are so many people around Ireland who are doing amazing things in the rivers and streams. So many people who really believe in getting salmon back. So there's a lot of energy on the ground, people who are galvanizing around this. And I think to capture that energy and to do more of it would be really good. You know, there's a lot of things locally to be positive about. It's the national and international picture, which is really difficult.
Yeah. Are there people fishing for wild salmon? I imagine it's not easy to catch them anyway, but...
There's so few of them, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, the state still gives out licenses to catch wild salmon and kill them. You know, there's catch and release, where you catch them and then you release them. And I mean, I think there's a whole argument to be had. Anglers are phenomenal, and you want anglers on rivers, and you want anglers looking at the rivers, because anglers really care. But I think anyone who's involved in salmon angling now needs to see themselves as a conservationist. It's the same as you imagine, like corncrake or curlew. There is not one wild salmon to spare. They need to be kept cool in the rivers. And, you know, we need to urgently do something. Otherwise, they will just disappear. And then the question is, and then what? You know, so we have no wild salmon left. We're just going down the chain, and we have will find it very, very difficult to have a measure of the health of our waterways, which I really do believe people really care about.
Somebody's just texted in, Ella, to say, I work for the ESB and as part of my role, I keep check on the salmon count through the counters. This year is by far the worst I've ever seen. I would expect 200 to 500 per week usually, but this year only 35 in the past week.
Yeah. Wow. And I've heard this across the board. Yeah. And that's not just in Ireland. Like, we are absolutely in a kind of crisis with it. And there it's not really time for endless expensive consultation reports and a kind of five-year plan or whatever. We need to kind of look at this with a matter of unbelievable urgency. And the reality is, and the blessing of salmon is, if you do well by salmon, you do well by everything else. So focusing on salmon, whether you ever care about them or you don't, it's a good strategy for the health of everything else. Yeah. And for the health of our enjoyment of our own, you know, local waterways and streams. So it makes complete sense. It just needs action.
Ella, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Ella McSweeney, the journalist, co-presenter of Ear to the Ground. One texter says, there are cows in practically every field in Ireland. Those fields are fertilised every year to promote grass growth. The cows munch the grass and defecate on it. And in winter, their waste is collected as slurry and then spread on the land. No wonder the salmon are on the way out, says John. Are the EPA helping with this for salmon? Who's in charge of our waters? Well, that's one of the things that it seems to be a bit higgledy-piggledy in terms of local authorities and all that kind of thing. And perhaps one of the things Ella would like to see is the establishment of a single statutory empowered river catchment authority who would be in charge of all of that.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.